Glad you're here. Happy Monday. Hey, we are going to get started. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to jump into our first session for tonight. So if you bow your heads with me, that'd be great. Father, we love you. We're so grateful for what we celebrate even here in this class. Thank you for children and the blessing that they are. I pray that you would continue to give us a passion for your name and your fame, even to be expressed as our families grow. God, I pray for safe deliveries. We pray for just testimonies in the hospital, all the things, Lord, all the details that we can be nervous about. But God, I pray that you would use this time tonight to equip us and get us more excited about what you're at work in us and just to develop us as parents. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, if you didn't remember from last week, if you weren't here, my name is Chris Sherrod, and I'm the marriage and family director here. We've been here about a year and a half, and this is my lovely wife, Katie. We've been married 30 years now, as of this summer. We have a picture of the fam. I didn't put this up last week because Katie was in here. So we have 8 children. 4 of them are married, and then we have 5 grandchildren. So the ages, we're on parenting 2.0 because we have a 9 and 10-year-old, and we have a 29-year-old. So we got a 20-year age span there, and so we're still doing a lot of things that some of our friends are becoming empty nesters, and we're like, it's going to be a little while before that, but we're excited. And then the other picture that we're super proud of, which you don't understand until you're a grandparent, is how much I just show off pictures of my grandkids. Like, I just show them off to people on the elevator, other people. It's like just really fun. But these are our 5 grandkids. We have 1 granddaughter and then 4 grandsons. So it's really fun. They range from 3 down to 7 months. But that's the kiddos and the grandkids. Anything you want to add about them? How great they are? How happily married you are? Anything? Great. Hey, so we tonight are going to talk about how a baby changes your world. If you didn't know this, your world is about to change. And I think last week was a great reminder from the Bakers as they were talking about your marriage, how when you're single and then you get married, obviously your life changes. You're not doing all the same thing that all your single friends were doing. Same thing happens when you have a baby, that your married friends who don't have babies, you just can't do the same thing unless you're going to be mean and drag your baby around to all the social events, which isn't good parenting, but it's just going to be different. So before you're married, I'll show you a couple of before and after pictures. Here's pre-baby up on top, your beautiful living room that is just always looks like, you know, Home and Gardens or whatever. And then after baby, you literally have toys all over the place. Pre-baby, you've got the holidays as a couple. It's like, where do you want to go today? Let's just go. Let's just be spontaneous. And then you've got after baby, you are loaded down with stuff. And did you remember this? Did you get that? Before kids, when you're leaving the house, here's the main thing you had to think of. Where are my keys? When you have children, where are my keys? My phone, the diaper bag, a pacifier, your shoes, my other shoe, the iPad, extra blanket, teddy bear, snacks, juice pack, extra clothes, your sister, my wallet, the snarky you just had in your mouth, my husband, Band-Aids, your sippy cup, all of those things. You have like this checklist that you just go through that anytime we're even going somewhere, I'm asking Katie, like, do you have your glasses? Do you have your wallet? Do you have your phone? Do you have your notes? We need our notes tonight. All those things. Things just change after you have kids. At the beach, how many of you guys like going to the beach? It's just so fun. It's just so easy. Just, you know, grab a lawn chair and just go. Then you have children. And it's like you need to have a plan and blankets and the diaper bags and all the toys and things like that. So a baby really does change your world. Obviously, there's joys. Like it's awesome. But your world really is going to be different. And you know that. But it's one of those things when you have the baby, then you go, oh, that's what they were talking about in that class. It really does change your world. So if you will follow along in your outline, we're going to go through a few things. If you don't know, this yellow W right here, like you could sell this on the Watermark black market for a whole lot of money. You guys know what this is? This is a parking sticker that when you come into church in the parking lot, like the front lines people that are doing the parking, when they see that, you get ushered into really close parking near the building. It's kids parking. So just so you know, ethically, you probably should wait until the baby is born. But you know, but you're pregnant and you got to waddle, you know, a little way. So I don't know. But anyways, that's a really fun thing that you guys have right there. So on your outline, we want to talk about a few things, starting with a shift in thinking. And I'm going to let Katie actually mainly lead most of this tonight on about how things change. I've never actually birthed a baby. Katie knows a lot more about that as well. But your life does change, and she's going to maybe talk about that in a lot of different ways. So take it away.
You've never been the married, the wife of had a baby, a newborn, and each month is different, and you're different, and your husband's different. You've never seen your husband as a daddy, and that's super fun and exciting just to see your roles change. So there's got to be a lot of grace and understanding, just remembering that, like, okay, I've never been this person before, and so I'm learning. I'm always a work in progress. But God is amazing like that, to keep us growing and transforming us into his image for his plans and purposes, and to proclaim his greatness in a lost and dying world. And I love the creativity of God and just the brilliance of God to know how to do that, like for a bigger purpose. And I really do want you guys to see and think about how he does this through giving us a platform of parenthood to fulfill his purposes when you're bringing this little stranger into your home and family. Because at first it's like, when I was first pregnant, I'm like, it feels like this alien's inside of you. You know, I don't know, this creature moving around. You're like, what is this? I don't know this person yet. But a shift in thinking, first starting with your mind. So that's the first one, just with your mind.
Your mind, my bad. If I could add also, that I mentioned last week about how I thought I was a really patient person. Did I mention that? Until I had a baby, right? It's the same thing where when you get married, marriage does not create character flaws. It reveals them, right? Like there are things that just marriage is the only crucible that's hot enough to bring some things out, okay? It's the same thing though with children, that there's going to be things that now your patience is going to be tested. And this is where you have grace, like Katie said, towards each other, because now Katie's facing things she's never faced before. And there's a new side of Katie that's coming out. There's a new side of me that's coming out. And so that's where really an atmosphere of grace, as we talk about your shift in thinking, even needs to be like, this is going to be a different person than I'm married to. Okay? They're going to be experiencing stuff that they've never been through before as well.
Yeah. So starting with your mind, because I really think there needs to be, we need to be thinking about this and start with your mind. There are other families in this world, lots of families, but how is your family going to be different because you are a family centered on Christ? And how does Jesus make a difference in your family? I know I went from a single working woman to a married person with children, to a foster mom, different seasons. But I was navigating God's purposes, and even now, just navigating my role as a grandmother, as a mother-in-law, and trying to see how this fits in to God's big plan for creation, for salvation, for the gospel to be proclaimed, and how I get to be part of that beautiful story. And also, as in our mind, just as we're trying to prepare in our mind and thinking about it, for me to go, who's telling me what to do? Who's telling me what to do? And where do I find wisdom to live my life? And that's just really important because you have all kinds of information coming in. But God's word, of course, is our source of information and what we look to as his people. And in 11, Romans 12, with our mind, to not conform to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. And when I think about the things that God has, like his will for your life, I love, just backing up in the big picture and looking at it and just knowing that, well, if I am married, then it was God's will that I am married, right? I don't have to pray about that. And then if I am pregnant, I have a child, then it's God's will that I'm a mom or a dad, whichever you are. But it's like, that's God's will for me. And so I want to live out God's will to the fullest. I want to be all that God has called me to be in that ministry. Because my purpose will remain the same, to bring him honor and glory, but he'll change those roles that I have in my life, and he'll give me different seasons in which I can bring honor and glory to him. The way I like to remember it as first is just that what's important for in his my will, his will for me is for me to be a lover of Jesus, and so my maker is important, my marriage is important, and then my motherhood. Sorry, for dads, it's like, parentheses, fatherhood, if you're a man. So I first focusing on that. And then I've been reading in Psalms lately, and just Psalm 73, when the psalmist, he couldn't understand like why, I think it's pretty much, it's like good things happen to people who don't know Jesus, and his frustration with that, and his anger, and his not understanding. I love in Psalm 73 where it says, but when I thought how to understand this, his feelings, his emotions, what he was going through in life, he said it seemed a wearisome task, like how to understand what was happening in life. But until he went to the sanctuary of God. And so as God's people, we need to go to the sanctuary of God and look through the lens of God's word and what he wants and his plans and purposes to discern everything. And the big weary, the task that it is to try to even have understanding towards this life change that you're about to face, that you're facing right now, is just like going into the sanctuary of God and consulting the truth of God's word for that.
And there's going to be a ton of people giving you advice, right? You guys know that there's, I'm sure it's already happened, people giving you their opinion and probably even telling you, here's how your delivery is going to go, like what to expect. And it's like, yours is going to be different. But just realize there's a lot of people that are going to feel free to tell you how you should parent and what your purpose is. And so your job is constantly to go back to God's word. Well, what does it say? What am I trusting in? That's where we love Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding or their own understanding. Again, you can listen to wisdom. Yeah. I mean, you want to take it. If somebody's got experience and stuff, that's awesome. But just realize there's a whole lot of voices of people that are going to tell you stuff. And you've got to make sure that you're filtering that through God's word.
And I think that's where a lot of your confidence is going to come, just by using your mind to think upon these things and take the time to think. And so it's just preparing your mind. My life is about to look different, and it's a good gift from God. So prepare your mind for change. Second, you need to prepare your heart. So you look to God's word for your mind, but then your heart. Am I willing to ask God to align my heart with the truth and his plan for my life? Have I surrendered God's timing for this child, his plan for our family? Not me telling God what my plans are, which I'm just so good at doing. It's like you think that I'd learn by now, after all these years of following him, but I'm still a work in progress, y'all. I'm just like, no, Katie, that's not how it works. God is the one who's the author and the perfecter of my life, my faith, and I am his. And for me to say and to align my heart with what he wants to do in and through my life. And so I love the words joyful acceptance. It's like, and it's too, it's having a heart of gratitude. And just, y'all, what a wonderful privilege and blessing it is that you are with child. I mean, what a blessing. And it's such a gift, because everyone doesn't get to experience that. And just for you to have joyful acceptance and trust God's time and trust what he's doing in and through his plans for you. But just having sacrifice and surrender with this new role, and then just asking, are we joyfully accepting the blessing that God has given us to entrust this life, and just saying, thank you, Lord. I love the response of Mary when she found out she was pregnant, and her response was, behold, I am the servant of the Lord, the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. And it wasn't like it was her and her husband had planned this and thought, I mean, she wasn't even married, she had joyful surrender, and she trusted God. And even when she didn't understand everything about what was about to happen, she says, with God, all things are possible. so that she had a firm foundation in a God who she knew was in control. And so for our hearts to trust in that.
If I can add too, we went through these birthing classes and we were all prepared for our first baby. And then we ended up having a C-section. Mainly she did, but we had a C-section. Yeah. That was not our plan. I think of this summer, if you were here this summer, one of TA's sermons, he talked about holding your hands out. Like, what do you need to hold loosely and offer up to the Lord? Like, even thinking this whole delivery, like what we had planned did not happen the way we thought it was at all. And it was kind of like this disappointment. Like, we went through all of those classes, and then we ended up, you know, having surgery. It was crazy. So
just surrendering it all. And having my plans, I continued to have plans with each birth. And prayed for those plans, but at the end I had to also surrender them to the Lord and just your will be done, God. And again, the whole thing, I love Mary turned her eyes to the Lord and said, my soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices and he has done great things. That this plan wasn't about Mary. She didn't make it all about herself. It was about God's plan and it was about him. In his kingdom and his glory, which is just beautiful. And I love in 2 Chronicles when Solomon, this has given me just peace and comfort over the years, but when Solomon was said he could have whatever he wanted and he asked God for wisdom and knowledge to lead the people God had asked him to lead, I often think of that as a parent, as a mom, and it's like, okay, of everything I can ask for, it's just like, Katie, just go, okay, God, would you just give me wisdom and knowledge to lead these people that you've given me to lead, these little ones, you know? And it's not like this whole army or whole kingdom, but it's these kids in my family. And God wants to give us that. And he said in this verse, it says, because this was your heart. And I just love that, a surrendered heart. And that was your heart. That's what he got, was wisdom and knowledge to do what God called him to do. And that's what's wonderful, too, that God, whatever God calls us to do, he equips us and he prepares us. So prepare your heart for change. And then see your purpose and passion comes from that. Once we know, we think upon it with our mind, we accept it with our heart, and then we're more confident in what our purpose is, and we have passion about that, about what matters most. What does matter most? When I think about that, it's the word of God that lasts forever, and it's the souls of men. And God is entrusting you with a soul that you will be able to love and care for and disciple. He gives different platforms, like I said, to fulfill his purposes throughout our life. And it's always changing, but his purpose remains the same. And God gets to choose the best way to do that in our lives, to fulfill his purposes through our life. And again, it's me having a surrendered heart to go, okay, wait a minute. Okay, God knows the best way to do this. And just to receive it with joy. I love where it says, I delight to do your will, O my God, your law is within my heart. And I remind myself with my purpose and my passion is just, who is this God that I serve? I have to remind myself again and again because we forget as humans. But my God is good. Our God is good. He is good. It says, you are good and what you do is good. In Psalm 119, he is sovereign. That means my God is strong. He is in control. And that gives me great comfort that all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That our God is perfect, y'all. Our God is perfect. As for God, his way is perfect, Psalm 18:30. And then he will accomplish his plans and purposes in and through me. When he created us, he's going to accomplish his plans and purposes. It's like little old me can't get in the way, you know, but the best thing I can do is to get me out of the way that I might be full of him and let God work in and through me. And he can do this, and he does this in bigger and deeper ways when I became a parent. I mean, it is amazing, and it's a wonderful gift that God is giving you. But he is, it says, for we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So prepare your body and will to walk purposefully and fully equipped in this amazing role as mom and dad with great passion, confidence, and power, because it's God who's going to give us the strength and sufficiency that we need.
And I would add on too, in Ephesians 2:10, the verse that she mentioned, we are God's workmanship. We are his workmanship. The Greek word there is poema. It's where we get the word poem, right? It's like a personal, well-thought-out thing. It wasn't just this random thing that happened. So God's got these works for you that he wants you to walk into, and it's the same thing with your kids, that they are his workmanship. Obviously, Psalm 139 talks about they're knit together. They're being knitted together right now, but there's a plan for them. There's a purpose that God wants you to walk into. So here's a quote. I think it's on your notes there from Betty Scott Sam. This is kind of her attitude towards all of this, which should apply to this. I give up my own plans and purposes, all my own desires and hopes and dreams. I accept your will for my life. I am yours. I hand over all my friendships. All the people I love are second place in my heart. Fill me now and seal me with your spirit. Work out your whole will in my life at any cost. For me to live is Christ. So even having that attitude as you go into this whole new chapter of being a parent, that all of this is you're offering up to the Lord. Okay.
So it's a life-changing transition.
Yep. As you bring your baby into your home, you'll experience new and different. And we got four things in 5 minutes.
Okay. So, well, and this is going to be more detail, like bringing the baby home in the next section. So, but it's not a balance, but a wise evaluation and reordering of your life. Like, I think so many times you think that you're just going to have a baby and just continue on your little merry way and just like kind of plop baby on the side and here we go and continue to do the same things. It's a whole reordering of your life because you're having a whole nother human join your family. And so just remembering that and preparing your mind even for that. But the different roles, even today, somebody said something like, oh, my life will never be normal again. And I just started thinking about that. I'm like, what is normal? Anyway, this is normal. Like, having a baby is normal. Like, it's just a different season. Like, it's just called life. It's not like my normal life. Life never gets normal. I think we keep looking for it, but it's like that's the way life is. It keeps changing, and I so love that about God because He keeps us on our knees in prayer, asking Him for wisdom and knowledge and direction and for His help. Because I'm the kind of person, I just want to figure this out. Like, just give me a list with some boxes and let me check it off, right? But it's like, no, I'm ever before the Lord, just asking for His wisdom and knowledge. And He is there for you to give you that wisdom and knowledge.
And I would just add, too, at the end of this, to remember, your role changes, your purpose doesn't change, though. God's purpose doesn't change. He's still wanting to be glorified and for you to be sanctified. That never changes, okay? So your roles look different, but His purposes are always going to be the same.
So, and also remembering that this baby is not an interruption in my life plans. This baby is my new role and is my life plan, okay? It's not an interruption. And so if you see it as that, it's your new ministry. It's your new job. It's a job. And speaking of that, I love this. I read a quote, there's other jobs that are going to come and go. But the God-ordained job as the mama of your babies will go and will never come again. It will be something that will never come again. You will never have this newborn at this age, never again. And so other jobs that may look good out there will come and go and be there later, but this one won't.
Yep.
And the rewards are eternal and the investments are priceless. I've never looked back on my life and said, I spent too much time with my children. Never. Never have I said that and never will I say that. It's always like I would have longed for more, and the sacrifices in spending time with them was worth every bit of it. What we also need to do, though, is be careful not to idolize the role or put any role above the ultimate lover of your soul, making sure God is first, because Satan's crafty. If he can't get you to ignore your family responsibilities, he will get you to try to make an idol out of your family. So there's a balance of that, just making sure an idol is anything more important to you than God. And so, especially mamas, a lot of times that baby just steals your heart away. That baby needs you. And so making sure your maker and your marriage and your motherhood in that order, definitely. Good. I also want to remind you for routines that it's going to be different. And I wrote this about productivity and efficiency because a lot of mothers just don't get it. When you're sitting at home, you feel like you're not doing anything a lot of the time because productivity and efficiency and motherhood looks totally different than it would out in a workplace. Productivity prior to motherhood was measured by concrete, objective terms, goals achieved, and things accomplished. In motherhood, the measure of productivity is completely different because loving, nurturing, studying a person with deep intentionality and constant thought and quietly caring for the endless needs of a baby doesn't produce anything visible to check off a to-do list. Matter of fact, you might feel that it gets in the way of your anticipated activities for that day unless you renew your thinking and remember that your chosen purpose in these souls that were entrusted to your care. And so, because there's going to be a lot of hours and the routines are going to change and you're going to feel like you're feeding a baby and you're sitting there and you're changing a diaper and you're just doing it constantly. But when you're doing what God has called you to do, it's a spiritual act of worship and it's beautiful in God's sight and it's worth more than any dollars amounts can give you. It's money unseen and it's an eternal investment.
And let me just add, guys, this is just some helpful advice. That, like she said, productivity looks different. So don't ever come home and say something like, what did you do all day? Like, do not, okay? Don't say that. A lot of stuff happened. A lot of stuff got done for feeding and changing and taking care of the baby and stuff. So what you might even think in your brain looks for productivity and did you get anything done looks different, okay? So that's just free advice there for you guys. Okay, next. Last two R's, your responsibilities are going to be a little different.
So with responsibilities, I think we're going to cover that more in the next one. But just that you're on a new clock, a 24/7 clock, changing diapers, helping in ways you've never helped before. You're jumping into roles as a husband, as a wife, trying to figure this out. Feeding the baby, sitting quietly many times a day, trying to figure out how to make a house a home. Cleaning and baby stuff, getting your house in order. I remember praying and asking God to teach me, just as a single person, how to become, Lord, I just want to be more of a servant. Teach me to be more like Jesus. And he's like, yeah, you want to know? So I kind of joke, it's like I gave my hand in marriage, I gave birth, and it's the beginning of giving my life away. And I love in Philippians because it really, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. It's like this little built-in, you get to be a servant automatically to this little one who is selfishly wanting you to do everything for them and they're needy for you. And you have no choice but to be a servant. And they're just so cute too. It just thrills your soul that they need you and they want you and they're yours. But let me do tell you that it does take time. I do like to say that it was hard for me at first when my baby first came home. My first baby, I didn't automatically have lovey-dovey feelings toward them. And I was like, oh my word, what is wrong with me? So it took me time. So don't be afraid if that doesn't happen to you automatically. I'm like, hey, baby. I'm like, I was just weird. I don't know. And I'm like, it took me time for my heart to be bonded to him. And and it surprised me. And then in relationships.
Relationships.
Your spouse, you're not going to have as much free time. You're going to have to rearrange the schedule. You're going to be tired. You're going to be tired. We've seen this in our married children. And it's like, when you're tired and you're hungry, you're hangry, so you have to also remember to take care of yourself and to take care of each other. But it's new working together, trying to have teamwork and spend your time differently. There's going to be some things you're going to have to cut out of your schedule. Working on understanding communication, intentional with trying to be on the same page There's going to be adjustment with different decisions that need to be made that you've never had to think about in your life. You'll be having discussions about poop and things like that. I mean, it's so fun to hear my kids talk about that, and my sons, you know, and they're just the way, it's just so sweet. Like, just what kind of wipes to use and what kind of ointment for the diaper rashes. So it's just a new, it's such a new sweet time of life. And I'm excited for you guys to move into that.
So one thing you can do on your own after this class, it says at the bottom of your page to reflect. Think about which of the above four changes do you anticipate being the most challenging for you and why? I think that's on there just to be thinking, like, what am I already ready for? Like, okay, obviously that's going to happen, but is there one of these where you're like, I need to think about that one just a little bit more. Like, I need to get my heart ready for that, okay? Here's a great reminder. We're going to close with 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make some grace abound to you. Oh, sorry. I read that wrong. What does it say? All grace. Are you able? No. What does it say? God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. That covers literally everything in your life, right? God's able to do that. So this is why I love the reminder that God's mercies are new every morning. We sang yesterday, great is your faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. That comes from Lamentations 3, where it talks about God's mercies are new when? Every morning. So that means when you have the baby, every morning is brand new strength, brand new grace, brand new mercies to face wherever you're going to face that day. The reason you can feel overwhelmed is you're like looking ahead to the whole week or the month and you're like, I'm so tired. Well, it's because you're thinking you're going to have to face all that with today's grace, today's mercies. And God's like, no. Today, I'm going to give you all the grace you need. Tomorrow, the grace you need is going to be there tomorrow. Okay? So that's good news. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a 5-minute break. If you need to remember, there's bathrooms down there. There's water in the back there. And we're going to come back together and talk about bringing the baby home. Okay? 5-minute break.
We're going to get started back up. Is anyone not here last week that did not get a folder last week? Okay. Yay. And then on your table is the golden ticket, actually the golden sticker. That gets you VIP parking when you come. You can park up close because you have an infant. That's what that stands for. So you want to stick it on the car that you will have, that you'll use the most to come to church here at Watermark. So don't lose that. It's a golden sticker. And then Chris will bring your attention to it, but also there's a little card with all of our ministries. Or actually, it's a whole sheet now. All of our ministries and the web, where you can find it on the website for the family ministries. But probably the biggest one is the family ministry newsletter. You want to subscribe to this by emailing Mary Grace Long, and then you'll be in the know of all the family ministries that we'll be doing. We do service days with kids. We do Apples of Gold, Square One, Blended Families, Newborn Feeding, The Nest, Parenting on Point. So you want to subscribe to that. I'm super excited to have Erin Smith with us tonight. She is a nurse, and she's going to go through the baby's first few weeks when you bring that little lovely bundle home. So
lovely. Okay. Hi, guys. Welcome. My name is Erin Smith, and my family and I have been at Watermark now for, if you count COVID year, which nobody does anymore, about 3 years. So show of hands, how many of you have ever actually held a newborn baby? Like less than a week old newborn baby. Okay. Yay. Wow. This is like a super experienced group. I love it. Okay. So this is going to be a lot of fun. Just a little bit about my backstory. For the first 5 years of my work career as a registered nurse, I was involved in either labor and delivery in the hospital in a small town up in Manhattan, Kansas. I never worked in the Dallas area. In an OB office or in teaching childbirth classes to expectant parents like you guys. This is my crew. This picture was not taken in Dallas, Texas. This was taken in Kansas, where we all came from, about 3 years ago on a really, really cold, windy Christmas evening. My kiddos are all grown up, as you can see, so the days that you are in right now feel like a very, very long distant memory. So it goes really fast. So I know you are going to hear this a million times, but savor it. All of that to say, one of my favorite roles has been educator, whether in the hospital, in childbirth classes, and now here at Watermark. I love, love, love expectant parents. You guys are just the best. There's something so special about the excitement, the unknown, and the new life. Okay, so another little interactive here. Since you have announced to people that you are going to have a that you're pregnant, have a baby, however you say it, how many of you have heard, oh, your life will never be the same again? Or some version thereof. Okay, what does that make your heart think or feel when people say this to you? Duh. yes, duh. Anything else? So true. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. That is so true. So true. I always feel the same thing when you announce that you're getting married, people are like, what are your expectations? And you're like, how the heck am I supposed to know what my expectations are? I've never done this before. So hopefully you're getting some great, oops, wrong button. I'm still getting used to this technology. Okay. So hopefully you're getting some good insights through all this amazing content that you've heard so far. But we're going to hopefully add a little bit more to your repertoire of tools here. Our goal in the next few minutes is to take a few of the practical realities of the first few weeks. Now, just what this class is not. I used to teach childbirth classes, and it was 6 sessions, 2 hours long. We've got 25 minutes, so we're not covering all of those details, just so you know. So I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. Okay, 168 hours in a week. That's the first answer on your little outline there. Think about what you do with those right now. How do you spend this time? This visual is so awesome. Take just a second to think about how you currently spend the hours of your week. All right, now look at these. These are your baby's current needs, which thankfully each of you mamas is taking care of while you're sitting here. Not even thinking about it. In utero, all these things are happening without any thought, really, like other than I'm really hungry right now, right? But soon all of this activity, here we go. Okay, look at this one more time. There we go. All right, they're all there now. But soon all of this activity is going to be happening on the outside world. And here is where your worlds will collide. This image here overlays your 168 hours of your week and your baby's 168 hours of his or her week. All right? This quote here cracks me up from the University of Rochester. Human infants are born far more immature than the infants of other species. For example, giraffe calves are able to stand up, walk around, and even flee from predators within hours of their births. By comparison, human infants cannot even support their own heads. Now, they had a really, really poor attempt at trying to explain this whole phenomenon because it was a bunch of crazy, like, we have to ignore the fact that we were created in the image of a heavenly father and had all these plans. But they're completely missing the point because they're not even considering that God might have set it up this way on purpose. Why did he create our babies to need us so much at first? It's what I like to refer to, and many people refer to as the fourth trimester. So this stage encompasses the first 6 to 8 weeks after baby comes, maybe longer, and we'll get to that in a minute. But beginning on the day your sweet little pumpkin head enters the outside of the womb world. So look here for a second as a completely dependent, 100% care needed around the clock to survive little one is relying on you for the gentle and cherished transition. So look through this list and consider for a minute the contrast between what the womb environment is currently like. Nice and muffled, warm, cozy, always held, never hungry, right? And then what's getting ready to happen to this little one? So, no, although the Bible doesn't technically use the word fourth trimester, it is actually there in essence. So look at this Old Testament law from Leviticus. It wasn't a suggestion. This was a commandment. This was not an option, all right? All of the details of what a woman had to do after giving birth. And you'll look here, if you add it all up, 7 plus 33 equals 40 days, approximately 6 weeks. So you can tell your friends that the fourth trimester is actually in the Bible. It's like he knew we needed it. He created us to crave this connection with our babies, and that happens best when the outside world is quieted, the expectations are set for a season of some protected, intentional bonding time. I just love it when the most beautiful truths of God's word are these rich patterns that we actually see in his creation, like it was created intentionally. So last week, the Frizzells talked about this, but the planning for a fruitful fourth trimester begins now as you are letting people know you're going to be clearing your schedule, however that looks for you and your family, even at work possibly, putting everybody on notice that this is a very important season coming up for your family, and you are working hard to prepare yourself and everybody around you, not from the purpose of abandoning your commitments, but to give everyone around you that warning, like, we're going to need a little grace as we incorporate this new member into our family's new rhythm. I love that Katie mentioned this a little bit ago, because this is always something that I like to remind new moms and dads. Although there is an immediate natural love and awe with your new one, the bonds and connections take time. So don't panic if early on your emotions fluctuate, because they'll be fluctuating all over the place anyway, from 1 second sitting in complete amazement of this little one to the next feeling super overwhelmed by the amount of time that this little one is taking. So many expect this mama bear instinct to be instantaneously and intensely irrevocable. But it doesn't always quite go that way, and you don't need to panic if it's not an immediate thing. It takes time, all the more reason to commit to spending those especially first weeks taking every minute you can to bond with this little one. All of these verses refer to the instincts of that mama bear. Okay, so let's talk about the birth. Another question. How many of you have actually seen a live birth? Not like TikTok or Nat Geo, but like actually in... Okay, not quite as many. It's pretty crazy to behold, right? It's truly one of the most amazing things that I ever witnessed. All the years that I worked as a labor and delivery nurse, it awed me every single time. But let's be honest, it's also kind of enough to freak anybody out. What the human body endures, both for mom and baby, and let's not forget dad too, as he's trying to figure out where in the world he fits into this whole picture. It's straight up a miracle. Okay, so let's talk just a little bit here. The delivery is pretty mind-numbing in all its particulars. How many of you have taken or are taking an actual childbirth class? Awesome. Okay, we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. So here you have a baby who is, no lie, both the ugliest and most beautiful thing you have ever laid eyes on. And it's okay to look at this little one and think, I really think I will love you, but I think you have a face only I will ever be able to love. Because for a long time, some people, yeah, it just is that way, and that's okay. I learned very quickly to tell people, he's precious. Because they are, they're precious. Their little heads could be cone-shaped because of a really long delivery process. There could be tons of that cottage cheesy, slimy vernix stuff all over their little bodies. Then let's not mention the umbilical cord, the placenta, and all the other organic material. It's just a lot all around. And so take it all in. Don't feel embarrassed to ask questions when you're like, I don't understand what is happening right now. Because the nursing staff and the doctors, like, they do this multiple times a day, and thankfully you do not. And so as you're there and you're like, I don't understand what's happening, feel free to ask. All right, so then some wonderful nurse is going to sweep in, pick up this priceless alien child from you, clean him or her up, swaddle them up in their blanket, pop a pink or blue knitted cap on them, and voila, it's Instagram time. It's almost like God knew what we would want to do with these little humans when we would sit for hours staring on their faces. Did you know that when they're first born and for those first few weeks, the distance that they focus best is that 12 to 15 inches away from their little face? Right where we like to love and coo at them and talk to them, there's really nothing quite like it. So for the first few hours, you're going to see a lot of different things happening. Some might surprise you, but most likely they are completely normal. So here's an example. Babies have this crazy startle reflex. You can see this little kiddo here, where they fling their arms out. Remember, we just talked about what they've come out of, right? This warm cocoon that's wrapped them really nice and cozy. And all of a sudden, they're having to figure out, where's me and where's the air and where's the surroundings? And they're in the process of learning, and they continue to learn where their little personhood begins and ends. And they don't get it yet. And that's not only normal, but it's actually the sign of a healthy baby. I've actually had patients, though, call me into the room crying because they thought their baby was having a seizure, because it can be so startling and so shocking if it's not something you're used to seeing. So it would be impossible for me to cover every normal thing that could possibly happen that would surprise you in this couple of minutes. And many of you are going to, I'm guessing most of you are probably delivering at a hospital, but if you're going to be delivering in a birthing center or planning a home birth, the protocols for each of those segments may look very different. And so this is a spot where a key recommendation is, as you're seeing these things and they're happening all around you in those first couple of hours, don't be afraid to ask the staff for explanation and help. Speaking as a nurse, and I know lots of nurses here as well, that's one of our favorite things to do, is to help teach, especially new moms and dads. One of my favorite things was to coach a new dad or mom in bathing their first time to bathe their baby, because it could take like an hour because they're going so slow and they're so worried that they're going to hurt them. And it's such a privilege to get to walk through that with them. So don't be afraid to say, I've never done this before. I have no idea what I'm doing, and I'm sure that I'm going to ruin them, hurt them. You'll be utterly amazed at how all-consuming this little 6 to 9 pound package can be. And on so many levels, becoming a parent is a tremendously sanctifying journey, very humbling. So as you move into the first couple of days, you're going to likely transition home somewhere in there. And the most common source of angst will be your baby's eating and pooping schedule. As Katie said, you'll have conversations that you're like, I can't believe we're actually having this conversation right now and that we're worried about this. But for real, you are going to celebrate milestones that you never even knew existed. And this is a time where you can see your relationship with your spouse solidify into some of the strongest foundation for your family. Do your best, I know this is really hard, to minimize visitors while you focus on this time together as a couple with your new baby. Learning what to expect and how to do things that are unfamiliar to you, especially for those of you that haven't been around newborns. So making sure that when you are in the hospital and they're teaching you how to do something, you're actually paying attention and taking notes, or making sure that the handouts, because oftentimes you get home and you're like, what was it they said about how much they're supposed to eat and poop and wet diapers and dirty diapers and all the things? And that can be really overwhelming when they have the information. Make sure that you have it ready. How to take care of the umbilical cord site. If applicable, circumcision. All of those little things that you will want to have someone show you how to tangibly do on your new little newborn, if at all possible, within that first couple of hours before you leave the hospital, when you have somebody there that you're like, I'm not sure what I'm doing here, and they can confirm that you're doing it correctly. Give yourself grace, and more importantly, give yourself time. Because 3 weeks into having a baby, it won't take you an hour to bathe them anymore. But that first couple of times, you will be drenched in sweat when you're done, and you will need to go take a shower, and you will be so happy that you didn't start that process 2 minutes before mom and uncle and grandma or whoever were coming over. Try really hard to purpose not to rush into events. Signing up for all the activities, you're going to be so excited to show that baby off. And as they said early on, walking out the door will take you longer than you ever imagined. And so that just adds to the stress. It adds to the tension. And those babies need to be held by their primary caregiver as much as possible in those first few weeks, just solidifying those family bonds. And so the fewer times that you're out and about and everybody's like, pass the baby, are better for that little baby and for you as well. Okay, you're going to have a lot of new realities to adjust to. Some things might not look quite like you envisioned. Just a note for you as you're preparing your overnight hospital bag, I hate to break it to you, but you will not be walking out of the hospital in your pre-pregnancy jeans. It's just a matter of fact. I usually told my baby, my patients, it took 9 months to put it on. It's going to take 9 months to get it off. And so be prepared. Most women leave the hospital looking like they're still about 6 months pregnant, which is really, really depressing reality. But if you don't go in expecting it, it's really, really devastating. And so be prepared for that. And just be okay to embracing that. That's one of the reasons I put this particular image on there, is because you see this beautiful, beautiful pumpkin head. And the mama still looks like she's slightly pregnant. All right. In those early days, especially, remind yourself, as you are diligently caring for your new little charge, that his care for you is more constant and his commitment to you is even more faithful. If you pursue to watch for it, he will provide these beautiful little glimpses into your dependence on him, and your own need for him, as you feel the intensity of your infant's needs of you, this little one that can't even hold up his or her own head. Okay, how many of you already have a car seat? You will need a car seat, a certified car seat, that is latched into the vehicle correctly in order to leave the hospital. The nurse will not be allowed to discharge you unless this happens. You wouldn't believe how many folks came to the hospital and didn't even bring the car seat because they weren't even thinking about when leaving, they would have a child with them. So as you tuck your baby into your car seat for the first time, these are some of the kind of main key points of the things that are you're going to be watching for, and the nurse will help make sure that it's done correctly. Okay. So I really love this visual. We're going to switch gears just a smidge here to food. It's really helpful because This is a visual that you want to keep in your mind and latch onto for those days when you feel like all you're doing, like Katie was talking about, is feeding this little baby. Commit to remind each other of this as you spend hours feeding this baby. It's going to take hours of your day, but here you can see why. Babies grow most rapidly in their first 6 weeks, approximately 40 days, but they can only eat about a walnut's worth of food at a time. So that's why your world is dominated with filling up that little tiny tummy. In the hospital, you're going to be instructed on what's normal and what's not for wet and dirty diapers, whether you're breastfeeding, bottle feeding, and how to assess if the baby is getting enough. Listen to those teaching sessions because this will be most likely one of your greatest sources of stress. They don't have a little, you know, odometer on them that says, yes, we got full. And so it can be very stressful to new parents to figure out, is this child getting enough food? So pay attention to those and then work together to monitor that. Because in those first few days of sleep deprivation, you'll be like, I think they pooped twice. No, maybe it was three times. No, maybe it was. And so working together as a team, actually just having a little note that you write down, pooped at 9 o'clock, wet at da-da-da, sounds really, really old school. Maybe put it in your iPhone. But it will help you so much when you're waking up in the middle of the night and you don't even remember what day it is. Okay, speaking of support, what does that support look like for you? Each of your family dynamics will be unique for your family. So how does time off work going to work? How are you going to team up on various activities with the baby? Feedings, getting up in the middle of the night. I encourage you to talk through it as a couple and determine what's going to be best for your family. For some couples, they try to do this 50-50 thing, and that works great for them. For others, my husband traveled a ton, and so it didn't make any sense for both of us to be exhausted. And so I was able to stay at home, and I was like, you know what? I will do the nighttime shift because I'm the only one that can really take care of this, and you have to go to work really early in the morning or be out of town. And so how that works in your family dynamic needs to be perfect for your family. And you may try something and then be like, yeah, this does not seem to be working very well. And that's okay. Reassess every week, 2 weeks, 6 weeks to see how the new changes based on your life limitations, your family of origin roles. Talk about all these things because you'd be shocked at how many expectations you might have of each other that you don't even realize you have already, for how this whole thing is going to go down. And then realize that these things do change because as babies grow, right, here's quite the progression. Of the first year, they change so much. And no matter how much You try to plan everything out. You just get into a really good rhythm, and then something changes. They drop a nap, they drop a feeding, and then you have to rework it all over again. As Katie said, the new normal is that nothing is normal. Everything's always changing. All right, so in addition to your feeding and physical needs, you want to take some really intentional time during that first six-ish weeks to start to focus on learning your baby. In a very short amount of time, no one else is going to know this baby as well as you, but you do have to pay attention to start figuring out their cues. So just as you learn the physical care techniques, you're also going to be figuring out their social and emotional needs. Their cues are like their own little personal language. And it's so important to be in tune with them. Some are super obvious. Looking intently at your face, rooting around to eat, feeding sounds, smiling, soothing, smooth body movements, as in they're chill and happy. And others are a little more subtle. Looking around, face relaxed, feeding posture, raising their head, following other people's voices around the room. For those early weeks, play is really just interacting with your voice and connecting through eye contact and touch and movement. That's the extent of play there at first. Conversely, figure out what soothes and calms them. Some love to be swaddled, others need a little bit of space. Some crave motion, and others want to be really still. So some other indicators of overstimulation can be really obvious. They're looking away, they're pushing away, they're arching, they're crying. Crying to the point where they're kind of choking on themselves, coughing, splaying their fingers out, or literally just falling asleep. But then other times it can be a little bit more subtle. And so this is where one baby will do it this way and another will do it this way. And so learning those techniques, trying different things out, and again, giving yourself some grace. You're working with a little one who doesn't even know exactly what they need, let alone able to communicate to you. So they're doing the best they can, and you're having to learn their language. Okay, safety. Safety is always a huge concern with new parents. So how should they be put down to sleep? This is the most current best practices slide, and I say most current because when my babies were little, it was different. But we keep learning and growing, and so these are some of the key things that the doctors are recommending for how to put your little one to sleep these days. A couple of other recommendations. Consider taking a CPR class for infants. They typically would address what would happen if your baby started to choke. And for new parents, those kinds of concerns, you can rest a lot easier at nighttime oftentimes if you have a little bit more of that information and you've talked through it and practiced so you feel more prepared. Okay, so as I mentioned, this time is such a combination of emotions, sleep deprivation, and newness, that many don't even think about watching for warning signs that things aren't going well for you all. So often, any struggle that can be met with this thought is... That was a weird sentence. So often, any struggle that we're met with this thought is just, what is it supposed to be like? And I didn't realize that that wasn't normal. So don't be afraid to ask for help. I have this dear friend who suffered along with a super, super painful yeast infection for weeks after her first baby was born. And the only thing that actually made her feel better was to get in a scalding tub of hot water, like scalding. And she would sit there for as long as she could because she literally thought she was going to die because she was too embarrassed to just ask somebody, is this normal? It's not normal. And it definitely was something that could be helped and taken care of. And she spent a lot of miserable weeks because she was just too afraid to ask. So make sure that you have your team of people that you know you can ask those questions to. Another big trigger for potential stress depends on your parenting philosophy. You have the schedulers and the non-schedulers. And my encouragement to both of you is that those first 6 to 8 weeks, don't worry about either. You're not going to cause your baby to have bad habits in that first 6 weeks, okay? What you can and should do is begin setting structures in place to guide your baby into the rhythm of how your family is going to operate. So, for example, wake up your baby during the daytime every 3 hours to make sure that they're eating. Let them maybe go a little bit longer at night, but during the day, don't let them do that so that they start to recognize this is day. This is when we eat. This is how we do this. And this helps start to straighten out those days and nights that sometimes can get mixed up. So speaking of days and nights, light is actually one of the best sleep products. So take some time each day to get outside, take a walk, enjoy the fresh air. I think that's on there, right? Yes, okay. Beginning this whole sleep-wake cycle, which is like precious information. The sleep-wake cycle is very important. So then a couple of other things that different ones have mentioned that they love that have worked good for their kids and may work for you is a sound machine. Always making sure that the baby is in a safe place. Some people like pacifiers, some babies like pacifiers. And so you can try different things to see which works best for your kiddo. All right, a couple of unexpected circumstances that could throw this whole fourth trimester into a tailspin. Let's say you've had early delivery. You had to be on bed rest for a while. You had to have a C-section. Your baby's preterm. There's been some feeding difficulties. You're having to do some pumping. There was an extended stay. All of these things are kind of the caveat to everything that we've said so far, that normal isn't normal. So if any of those things happened, you're looking at potentially extending this fourth trimester, days, or even months, just depending on your situation. So again, this is a time to give grace in the scenario and not feel like all those deadlines and timeframes apply anymore. All right, so in your packet, you have this great little sheet called Planning Ahead Worksheet. Okay? This is such a great resource as you anticipate. How can you delegate? How can you eliminate? How can you automate some things now before the baby comes? Think through some of the people in your life and identify who could help you. Create a list of how others can help you, because everybody's going to say, what can I do to help? How can I help? I'd love to help. How can I help? And you will probably draw a complete blank at the moment, but if you can think through it now and consider, oh, you know what? It would be really helpful if so-and-so did this, if my neighbor did this. The people that are going to be those people that ask how they can help. Thinking about it now will make it so much easier when you're kind of on the spot and you're tired and you're not exactly sure what to say. All right, so as we wrap up this segment, I can't encourage you enough as you step into this world to commit to these three things. Do not lose sight of the importance in this role of knowing and trusting God your Father. You are his lamb, he is your shepherd, and he will guide you as you seek his face. Secondly, don't forget that you and your spouse were a team first. Be intentional in ways to continue to pursue your spouse. This can be super tough for both moms and dads as you try to figure out these additional roles and always talk through what it looks like to work as a team in your family unit. And lastly, pursuing God's answers, not Google's, for how to raise your family together. One of my recommendations and encouragements is to find a family, a couple that has kids that are several years, if not more than several years ahead of yours, and you see, okay, this is how they have chosen to parent, because I think Chris had mentioned, you're going to get so much advice, and it's all very well intended, but you're going to have to decide, because some of it's conflicted, like, absolutely do this, don't ever do this. Absolutely got to have this wipe warmer. Oh, no, don't ever do that. And so find a couple of couples that you really admire and respect the way that they have raised their children. And anybody else, you're like, thank you so much. I will definitely remember that. And then just let that go. Because you'll get overwhelmed by all of the advice. All right, we have a couple of minutes for group questions. So at your table, discuss. Question number one, on a scale of 1 to 10, how comfortable are you with handling a newborn baby? And explain. And then secondly, what is one takeaway from this segment that you did not know coming in? And then we do also have a couple of QR codes for some prenatal breastfeeding classes. So I'll go slowly so you can scan those if you would like. And Sarah, is this over at, which hospital is this at? Or is this the one you teach here? Okay, that's what I was thinking, but I didn't want to say it wrong. Okay, so this, Miss Sarah Crotty, is an amazing instructor, teacher, and has been teaching this class for a long time, expert at, excuse me. So this is for her class here. And then this is for support after baby, which is really, really important. And then Square Mom. Square Mom. Square One. This is for new moms that are there's 7-week sessions offered 4 times a year here at Watermark. So you'll be at tables similar to this with other moms who are in the same exact season of life, and you can compare notes and be like, is this normal? You got that going on too? Okay, good to know. All right, so I'll scroll back to the picture that has the, yes, the questions. Okay. Okay, so we have 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Yes.
Can you go back to the middle QR code?
Yes, ma'am. That one? Yeah. Yes, you bet. Okay, 5 minutes to chat, and then we will.
All right, welcome back. Hey, I mentioned this last week, but I'll put the QR code. A lot of QR codes tonight, if you're keeping track of these. This is our parenting conference in November 10th and 11th. This is a Friday night. Saturday morning, we'll have breakouts, 3 different breakout sessions, and then another main session will be done about 3 o'clock. So that is in November. Probably, excuse me, right after that, we're going to start a Watermark family newsletter. Robin mentioned this. There are so many things that the family ministry does that includes kids ministry, student ministry, marriage ministry, but also all the things that we offer from Dad U, okay, dads, our Dad U classes. We have a Dad U podcast that's ongoing right now. Our Parenting on Point class, the Nest, Square One, all of those things. We're going to have a quarterly newsletter that says, hey, for this quarter, for the fall, here's all the things going on for families. So that tells you a little bit about that. Okay? So we started out last week kind of zooming out and looking at the big picture of what is your role? What does it mean to be a parent? You're a disciple maker. You're a disciple. You're a spouse. You're a disciple maker. And then we talked about specifics about your marriage and then about considering working today. Zoomed out a little bit more and just talked about, zoomed in a little bit more about, okay, it's going to change your world. What's your plan? And then specifically last session, hey, this is what it's going to look like the first, day you bring the baby home, first few weeks. We're going to end this last session by zooming out again, and we're going to talk about your mission. I do want to give you guys some practical advice, especially you dads, just if you didn't know, but also moms, some of this stuff, do's and don'ts, since we're giving you practical things. Music for baby. One would be you could put your stomach up to a speaker, or you could just put headphones around your, these are jokes, by the way. Just letting you know. Some of you are like, is he serious? Buckling up, baby. There's a right way. She mentioned if you have a car seat, there's a wrong way. Okay? Guys, you need to know this if you've never done this. Lifting a baby. Okay? You scoop, you cradle the head, you don't pick it up by the head. Bonding with baby. There's ways to do that. There's ways that just won't work. Calming your baby down. There's good ways and bad ways. Some will get you a phone call from CPS or a visit. Checking a baby's diaper. We mentioned that. There's both ways you can do. One is just not recommended. Washing the baby is important. Learning how to do this. Same thing afterwards. Drying a baby. Again, free advice. I think they know we're joking. I remember with my son, he was way older, by the way. He wasn't a brand new baby, but he was probably like 1, and we're in a grocery store, and I was throwing him up really high. Katie was shopping, and I just enjoyed seeing how high I could throw him. And there was a lady who came around the aisle, and she goes, okay. Like, all she saw was this baby going up, like, on the other side. Fun games for baby. Good games you can do, and then maybe some bad games. I will tell you this funny story with our very first delivery. It's funny now. I had heard stories of like these super sweet, calm little wives that during labor turn into like this monster. Like, and my wife is great, but she's already a little intense. And so I was a little nervous, like, what is going to happen when this? And so she actually did way better. And the only time I frustrated her during the delivery, she had to wait to push. She wasn't fully dilated, and it was a long, long night. Agonizing. It was, no, let me just tell you guys, I think I mentioned this last week.
Oh, you turned me off.
No, you didn't turn it back on. I think I mentioned this to you guys last week, but make sure you are hydrated and have plenty of food because I did not do a good job. Katie had to endure her contractions. She couldn't push yet. And the only thing that made her feel better was exerting her body and with her arms to kind of distract from the pain that she was feeling. So I would lean over the bed and kind of brace myself, and she would reach around my neck and pull herself up during the contraction, and that kind of took her the pain away from that because she just had to endure, right? And so, again, I was getting pretty tired.
Poor guy.
And
poor
I wasn't,
guy.
I know. It's terrible to say, like, I was getting tired. But I was like, again? No, it wasn't like that. But I leaned over and I put my hand down on the bed there, and she went to go pull up, and all of a sudden she's like, hair. And I'm like, what in the world? And I had put my hand down on her hair so that when she was pulling up, it was like pulling her hair back. So you just never know what all was going to happen. And you might be bugged by different things. We had a friend who the husband was trying to be there for her, but he was trying to get his energy. So he was eating a banana. And she's like not feeling like talking, so she's sitting there. She's like smacking, which means get out of my
Stop
face.
Smacking,
and then he's,
get away from
and then
me.
He's talking to her, and she's like, banana breath.
Your breath banana smells breath. Like bad. She, you smell like bananas, and it's making me sick. Get like, away from me.
But Katie, same kind of thing, where she was just like out, like people out of the room. Like I knew what that meant. So got to pay attention to all this.
Yeah,
so
it's kind of hard. Yeah, you guys, it's kind of like a guessing game.
You
and you're just trying to see how you can serve and be there for your wife. But the reason he said to eat and be hydrated, to make that clear, is because you're trying to be strong for your wife. And you don't need to be over. I remember him over there like this. And I'm like needing him. I'm like, wake up already. Come on, you know.
Oh, not so my best moment.
Every other baby, he made sure he had food and nutrients so he could be there for me.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I had like. Yeah.
Live and learn.
Okay, mission statement. Again, free advice. The very first part of your notes there, you can just put down the word vision. And this still goes back to what we talked about last week about your role. But in particular, I just want to encourage you or remind you. Yeah. What did you push? Okay. I just want to remind you that this is really important. Right now, you already are a family. Okay? You don't become a family when a baby's born. Okay? You are a family. And your baby is going to be a welcome member to your family. And your family is going to grow, but it needs to be where Jesus stays the center of your relationship, of your family, not the baby, okay? And this is really important. It sounds like obvious right now, but it's easy with all the focus and the attention and the energy and the time and the conversations you're having about that baby, that the baby can become the center of your marriage and of your family. And so you need to think of it as the baby's a welcome member to our family as it gets larger. But then one day, as they graduate and move on, then your family gets smaller, and you keep cultivating this relationship. We talked about that last week. And this is what happens. I don't know if some of you know this, or maybe it happened to you, that it wasn't until after you moved out, or when you're in college, or your friends, then your parents got divorced. And you're like, what in the world? Like, how in the world did you make it through all that time? Well, part of it is that you haven't been working on this relationship, and now what was the center of your relationship is gone, and you're looking at a stranger. And you're like, I don't really know you. I don't know if I like you. You know, it's just this whole new thing there. So you are already a family. But now is the time when you're thinking, what is the vision for our family? Okay, we are the Sherrods. What does it mean to be a Sherrod? And as your kids grow, you're going to have, you know, family standards and convictions. And this is what we do as Sherrods that you can talk about. But this is where you begin to have this bigger picture. So in your outline, it just mentions, what's God's purpose and plan for me? 2 Timothy 1:9 just talks about how God saved us and called us to a holy calling. You've got a calling, okay? And then what is his plan for your family? The verse that we mentioned already last week from Deuteronomy 6 talks about, hey, if you want to summarize everything, when Jesus asked what's the greatest commandment, he went back to this. You're loving God with all your everything, right? First, most, best, you're loving him. His word is on your heart. And then you're applying this to your kids. So this unified God, Israel, this hero Israel, this the Lord our God is one. This unified God is seeking undivided followers. An undivided God wants undivided followers. You love him with all your everything. And then you're passing this on to your kids. That's your vision for your family. Okay? So again, we model this, we possess it, and then we pass it. We live it, then we give it. Those are some of the things we talked about last week. A couple things about this. We mentioned passion and purpose a minute ago, but passion follows purpose. Once you know what your purpose is, that's what fuels that. If you read Philippians 3, which I'll get to in a second, Paul's focus and fervor, you can see that. By the way, Psalm 40, verse 8, I have it here. I delight to do your will, oh my God. Your law is within my heart, that I'm delighting to do that. I'm passionate about God's will. When you think about what Paul said, if you read a little earlier in this passage, Paul said, there's a whole lot of things that I used to find my identity in. That I was a Hebrew of Hebrews, I was a Pharisee, I was keeping the law, I was flawless. Like, that's who I was. And then he said, but all of that doesn't matter now. The only thing that matters is knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. And then he goes on and he says, so brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own yet. Like, I'm still a work in progress. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, I'm going to pursue with white hot passion the one who first pursued me. Like, that's going to be my goal. That's going to be our goal. As a family, we're pursuing Jesus. And our family, our motto, as we talk about, is for the name and fame of Jesus, okay? And some of you did not grow up with any kind of direction or purpose from your family. Like, you had no clue about anything that was of the Lord. And this is what's so great, is you get to start now. You get to say, what does it mean for our family to serve Jesus? Like Joshua said at the end of Joshua 24, there's a whole lot of people and things you can follow and idols. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Okay, this is what we're going to do.
I'm excited because it's not your family of origin. You get to start fresh. And there's some things you can bring into your family that you liked, and the things that you wish that weren't in your family, you can start fresh. And then you're going to be able to add to that. So you're going to be uniquely your family, like we're uniquely the shared family. And so I'm excited for you guys in that. But I was even thinking, I don't know. Go ahead. I'll
come back to it.
Yeah.
I'll okay.
Come back to it. Sorry.
This next part is this is a privilege, honor, gift, and responsibility. If some of you are familiar with Psalm 127, but it's a reminder that our children are gifts. Here's what it says. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is a man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. You think about arrows in the hands of a warrior. During this time period, that would have been equivalent to like ballistic missiles. Okay, like doing damage against the enemy. And this is the deal. A warrior only has arrows in his quiver for one purpose. He's going to use them. Okay, they're not decorative. They're not just there to talk about and to show around. They're to be aimed and launched. Okay, and this is what children are, that they're a wonderful thing. They're a gift. They're a blessing. But then they're also something to be used for a purpose bigger than me. Okay, my kids are for my sanctification. They're not for my validation. Okay? It's not all about how does this make me feel or make me look or am I getting something out of it? It is for his kingdom and his purposes. Okay? So this is a question. If you look up here, what are you going to be launching? One day you're going to launch kids into the world. Okay? So you don't, like that, you didn't flinch. Okay? Now, I wouldn't throw it. But you think about this. See how quick your reflexes are. If you think about this, this is the deal. Am I going to launch just average, like well-rounded, social kids that do okay? Or am I going to launch single-minded world changers for Jesus? Like, it's got to be this attitude that this is my goal and I'm praying for this. And again, they've got to make their own decision for Jesus. But I've got to have this mentality that I am going to be launching these arrows. And so my job is to point them to the point, to aim them and to release them. Okay? And that's all part of it. Like, you're going to release them one day. They're arrows, not boomerangs, okay? So that's, you need to remember that. But this is the mentality that you have to have. Like, these are arrows in your hand, Lord. You're the warrior. We want to use them for your kingdom, okay? Did you have something about that?
I would always tell my kids, just my little ones as they were growing up too, just that mommy needs time to spend in the Bible or in reading, you know, with prayer. because the more I'm a better lover of Jesus, I'm going to be a better mommy. And so I know all of you want to be the best parent. And so really it is by letting your heart be captivated by the Lord first. And just to let you know, that time with God is going to change over your years and over your seasons. It's not like you're going to have, you know, your uninterrupted time, or you're going to have to find different moments to have time in the Word and to feed yourself with the Word. And I even think that God gave you different seasons of life. Like my daughter Annabeth was in the Institute this last year, and I'm like, this is when she built up this huge reservoir, because her mind is going to have to, the Spirit's going to bring to mind the things, the Word of God that's been hidden in her heart, that she's going to be able to chew upon as she's feeding her babies and as she's doing things, and you're speaking the truth, or you're listening to the Bible on an app. You're just listening to the Word of God, but trying to continue to feed your soul. It's just going to look different, and you can't beat yourself up that it's not going to look like a quiet time that you once had. It's just going to be different. So yep. Just be prepared.
Yep. Next one, just thinking how will I align my life with his plan? In John 4, this is after the woman at the well. The disciples brought Jesus some food and stuff, and he says, I have food that you didn't know about. And they're like, what are you talking about? And then he just says, my food, what fills me, what satisfies me, is to do the will of my Father. Like, that's my goal, okay, to be thinking it through that way. And so are you and your spouse unified in your mission? Okay, the word division literally means division. It means two visions. Did you guys know that? That's what division means. When you've got two different visions, you've got like, well, I thought we meant this. I thought this was our purpose. So you guys being unified together as a family. One thing that we did as a couple, which was kind of fun, I was trying to come up with, like, what does the shared name even mean? And I tried to look it up online and find some kind of a cool back history story, and there was nothing. So we're like, well, you know what? Starting with us, we're going to make our own family crest. And so we knew this gal at my work who did some stuff, and we decided, hey, this is what we're going to have represent our family. I have it tattooed in my back here. I'll show you. Oh, yeah. I'm just kidding. This is what our family is going to be about. Like, you got to have a Latin word always. And so I knew a guy who was signing all of his emails Nexus Christus. And I was like, what does Nexus Christus mean? That's a cool Latin sounding word. He said it means Christ at the center. And I was like, I like that. That's going to be our family motto, Christ at the center. And then what did Jesus say is the two greatest commandments? You love God and you love others. So we have a passion for God, a passion for the name and fame of Jesus, and compassion for people. And the word compassion doesn't just mean feeling sorry. It means you're taking action. You're doing something about someone's plight. Okay, Jesus told two parables that use the word compassion. There's the Good Samaritan. The Samaritan saw this guy, he had compassion, and so then he sacrificed and did all these things. And then the prodigal son. Then when the son was coming back, the father saw him when he was a long way off, had compassion, and what did he do? He ran, he hugged, he kissed him, he restored him. Compassion always means you're doing something with it, okay? And then we've got a bunch of other things that it stands for. We put verses on there. The lion in the very middle is actually what T.A. preached on yesterday. It's Revelation 5, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And the arrows there remind us, too, that our kids are to be launched. So there's a lot of things that as families, and just even thinking, what are little phrases that we want to be part of, you want to be part of your family? Some things that we say as a family, we've heard other people say, but like kind of made them our own, like, hey, you're blessed to be a blessing. Or hey, at school, be a friend to the friendless today. Be a joy to your teacher. Remember, you're not your score. There's all these little things you want to be able to say. This is what it means to be a shared. This is what it means in our family. Did we remember the name and fame of Jesus, okay? So thinking that through, what is going to be our motto? We talk about the least, the last, and the lost as a family.
And so, you guys, don't be overwhelmed by all the detail of that. Some people are crafty. He's crafty and creative and stuff.
Way.
And this didn't happen when we were at an expectant parent class, okay? So, but it's just to give you a little bit of thought or just bigness of, oh, who are we? And gives you, you know, just identity as a family. And it's fun because you can come up with yourself. And some of your, as a team, yeah, some of you are more creative. When we have craft projects, the kids go to dad. Yeah. So I don't draw and do things like this. Okay.
But even just having a family verse, Even for your kids, they thinking like, why are we going to name them this name? And what verse are we going to pray over them? What does their name actually mean? And how are we going to speak that identity into them?
Yeah.
Our son Caleb means bold and courageous. So we always reminded Caleb, hey, that's what we pray for you, that you'll be bold and courageous.
Yeah, and we didn't have a family verse that I was able to get and just put up in my house. Like, this is who we are as sharers, our verse. Yeah.
But you painted yourself.
I actually did. I used pencil.
Okay. Okay. Commit is the next part. This is where, again, you're thinking of your priorities. I mentioned last week the 4:14 window. Remember, the average person who comes to Christ, 85% of decisions for Jesus are made between ages 4 and 14. So you are evangelizing. First of all, you've got a little mission field right there. You're evangelizing your kids, okay? You're making disciples. You're training in righteousness, all of those things that God has called us to do. This is Katie's phrase that she always says, life is short, people matter. And she really was saying it right before we were starting foster care, and then when we decided to adopt our first child, that was kind of her attitude, like, hey, listen, life is short. I know that we're older than we thought we would be adopting, but this is where we're at, and life is short, and people matter. Like she said, the word of God and the souls of men are the only two things that last forever. The rewards are eternal and the investment priceless. We've already mentioned that. And again, it's going to be a new role I mentioned last week, just the eternal significance of present faithfulness. Like, that's what you're thinking of. Like, I might not see the rewards right now, but I'm trusting that God is sovereign in all this.
I do want to go back to just to even those initial moments at the beginning with the bonding within the first year. Just I've had several foster babies come to my home, and our my seventh child who came home through adoption was 7 months when he came home, and just what he missed in utero and what he missed that first 7 months was big. So it's so sweet and important for you to be with that baby. Because when he came home to us, there was so much emptiness in his soul. And he was so behind. Because no one had spent time with him and nurtured him. And so, again, that just came to me again. It's just so, so important, you guys. And I've seen babies who've had it, and I've seen babies who haven't. And you get that privilege and that super sweet blessing to make time.
Have you ever seen Zootopia? He was like Flash the sloth, where you would like tickle him and stuff, and he would just stare at you, and then like 10 to 20 seconds later, he would finally kind of respond. It was like totally different than we'd had before.
He's doing so well. He's here tonight.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Well, so.
Okay, so we already mentioned your mind, but this is again reminding this in your vision and what you're committing to. You must think through and remind yourself of the bigness of what you're doing. It really is important to think, why am I doing this? What's the big picture here? Because days can seem mundane and can seem frustrating or draining, but think through the bigness of what you're doing. Your days, like Katie mentioned, will look different, and time is essential. You're just going to make the best use of the time, like Scripture talks about. Okay? We also mentioned how productivity looks different later on, but the third thing, going back to your heart, that your attitude needs to be surrendered and serving, that when the disciples many, many times argued with each other about who's the greatest, Jesus had to correct them. Either he would bring a child in and just go, hey, it's like this, like your faith needs to be like this, or don't think of like the world where it's the Gentiles are like who's in charge telling everybody else what to do. It's the one who's serving is the one who's leading. He said, because I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom. And so he's our model, and I need to have that attitude that I'm committing to my wife, to my marriage, to my family, to this baby, and this is going to be my attitude going in. Like, guys, when you come home, you need to be thinking, I am now showing up for my real job, and I'm here to serve, okay? I'm showing up. I need to assume my wife has had a rougher day than I've had and just ask, where do I need to serve, okay? What's needed here? Is it you need to go sit down, or you need me to take the babies away from you? Like, what do you need? What is going to best bless you in that, okay? Accept the transition and new role with joy and patience. It's just going to be different, and you'll get used to the new normal. Like Katie mentioned, there's a new normal, and this is what it is. And it says that the calling is a spiritual act of worship, like we read in Romans 12, that even being a parent, this is your spiritual act of worship, this new platform to live out your purpose, God's will unfolding in your life, okay? This is all what God has called you to, that you are committing to. Anything else you want to add? The next one. Okay, the last one. So what is your plan? Thinking through a couple things. What does my life look like now? What will my life look like when the baby comes home? Now, I know that sounds obvious because that's what this whole class has been about. But being realistic about, okay, are there going to be ways that we can bless each other and serve each other? Okay? Is there things that I already need to go in and get in my mind that I'm going to have to cut back on? Hobbies, exercise, binge watching, whatever it is. Like, just think, like, things are going to look different now. Okay? So just already having that in your mind. What's the plan? And then this is one of the big things already to be thinking, what am I specifically praying for? I think one of the big things I've learned from my wife is learning how to pray specific. That we have in our house a memorial shelf. If you read all through the Old Testament, you see anytime God does something really significant, that people will either, or meets with someone, people will either build an altar or they'll name that place. They'll try to memorialize it, or God telling the people, like, you need to build an altar here so that when your kids ask, what is this about? You tell them what God did. Or here's this whole new meal that I'm going to give you. So when your kids ask, why is this night different? You tell them your story. So we started in our family making a memorial shelf that's in our dining room that has all of these little trinkets of answered prayers. Little reminders, little toy cars, pictures, different stuff. One of them is from our birthing class, where God provided exactly the money that we needed when we needed it because we didn't have it. And I was a school teacher not making much money. But this is where I learned from my wife to pray specifically. And then guess what? It's easy, way easier to see God when he answers because it's like, that's exactly what I was praying for. And so you want to be thinking, what am I praying for? I mentioned this already, but what's the meaning of your child's name? Why did you pick that name? Okay? We usually try to pick just a name that we liked and something significant like a Bible name or a family name. Our first son, Jordan, we just like the name Jordan. Wisdom and judgment is what it meant, though, and we talked to him about that. Caleb, we liked Caleb in the Bible. His middle name is Thomas, after Katie's dad. So we have different names for our kids that we picked for a purpose. And it says there, do you have a life verse for them? Something you can put up in their room and pray over them while you're feeding them or holding them? Not yet? Okay. Okay. What are your daily prayers just for your kids? And it's perfectly great and fine to pray for safety, to pray for a good feeding. Like, there's be little things that you're praying for. Just let them sleep one more hour or just 30 more minutes. Or you're praying for sustenance, just whatever it is. But there's also big picture prayers you can already be praying. And so none of that time is ever wasted that you're praying for your child.
And I think it really did enhance my prayer life because I just, again, becoming dependent on the Lord. We're always dependent on him, but I felt it and I knew it even more. Just for when your milk is coming in and for comfort, for the baby to have a good feeding. I remember for one, praying that my child would swallow because he would stuff food in his mouth and I would always think he's going to choke. Praying for potty training. I need you, God, and I am asking for this, these prayers. So, and just even for you, to just like, God, help me remember to take care of myself. Help me remember to eat, you know, and to remember to drink. I need to stay hydrated. Help me, Lord, just in every single moment. And it's so sweet. And I love that God is there at every step of the way to give you what you need. But just remembering that that is where we get our source of strength and help.
Yeah. And again, going back to even your identity, to remember God wants your dependence, not your performance. Okay? Your kids aren't your report card. They're not your scorecard. Your identity is in Christ. God just wants your dependence. And prayer is how you express that dependence. Okay? If you need to know what to pray for, you're thinking like, well, I don't know. I get so distracted. For me, as a guy, I really got distracted. I finally got a prayer journal. I think I resisted it for a while because I felt like it's like a little diary, like where you could have a key that you hide. I was like, I don't want that. But I got over that. And I realized I need, because my brain just wanders, I need to have specific things I'm praying for my kids. So in my prayer journal, I actually put pictures of my kids, of my wife. Here's their name. Here's what their name means. Here's specific things. I'll ask my older kids, okay, for this fall, What are you working on? What's one word that would sum up what you're working on? And I write that down. And this is what I'm praying for you this fall. But getting specific with your prayers. There's the Valley of Vision gives you some prayers. The Handbook to Prayer gives you some prayers. Every Moment Holy gives you some prayers. There's a really, and these are liturgies. These are little prayers you can pray. There are two different prayers in here that are liturgy, a liturgy for changing diapers. Okay? If you want to talk about making every moment holy, even changing diapers, to be thinking, Lord, none of this is meaningless. Okay? There's a great prayer in there for a moment of anger with a child. I have gone back to that one a lot because it's a really great reminder. Okay? So just remember, like, I want my prayers to be guided and helped in that. So those are some ideas on some things that will help you.
And okay? I just want to tell you guys right now, just as I'm just thinking, it's like, You're gonna be amazing parents. The fact that you want to be the best parent, you came to this class. You're already loving your baby. You're here, and the truth is, your baby doesn't need me or doesn't need your mother. Your baby needs you. You're the mom. You're the dad, and God chose you for this child, and so you're gonna do amazing. I'm so excited and thrilled for you just to enter this season because it's such a just a huge blessing, and I'm excited for you. You guys should don't sweat all the small stuff and just know that one step at a time, like we're saying, His mercies are new, and you guys are going to do amazing. So I'm excited for you.
Great. Anything else?
No, I think I had written down just in that. You have certain gifts, talents, and abilities that the world wants you to use everywhere else but in your home. And just remember that, you know, use the most of who you are in your relationship with your husband and your relationship with your children and build that up within your house. And then you go out from there. That's where you need to build up that power, that powerhouse, and that you can be a ministry center from starting within your home. And then you can, what did Billy Graham would say, you can't
export
that which you
don't have.
Do not have. I'm the queen at forgetting the quotes. Yeah, see, forgetting quotes. So, but anyway, that makes sense, right? And but just invest where God has put you and what He's called you to, and then you guys are going to be a light in this world. And do not be afraid. Sometimes it's like, oh, the raising a child in this generation, like, what? God knew your child would be born in this time and this generation for such a time as this to do some damage for the kingdom of God. Don't be afraid. You guys, we have the greater is He that is in us than he that is in this world. And so I am so thrilled that you guys are raising up these children and just for what God's going to do in and through you and in your families.
Good. Thanks, babe. I forgot one thing I was going to mention, too, to be thinking, maybe even having your prayers already on your phone, on your notes, so that while you're feeding the baby or while, you know, you're doing other things, like you don't always have to carry your Bible or prayer journal with you. If you're feeding the baby, I would say be looking at the baby's eyes. Sorry, if you're holding the baby, if the baby's sleeping. I don't mean looking at your phone. No, we're not screen time. I just mean it. Don't feel like you always have to have a prayer journal walking around with you all the time. But like if it's like be thinking ahead of time of those things. Two books I always mention. That have impacted me. Habits of the Household is a big one. Justin Earley, we're bringing him in for our parenting conference. It's a really good book that impacted Katie and I last year. And then this other little one, Dad's Especial, I'll just tell you, Family Worship is a thin, little, very quick read about what does it mean to have family worship. And I'm just going to give you the cliff notes are read, sing, pray. Like read God's word, sing together, and pray together, and you did family worship. But those are really two helpful books of getting your house in order. Let me end with this application. On the back of your notes right there, where it says, as a couple, these are things that, are we doing a Q&A, Robin?
Yes.
Okay, so on your own, we got 10 minutes left. On your own, be working through these questions that are in the back right there of what are some unspoken expectations and changes and some words or phrases that you want to be part of your family mission. Okay, so are we calling everybody back up? Robin, are you going to be part of this? Okay, so for 10 minutes, we'll be up here and you can ask any question about... Yeah, how many ladies are coming back up? Sarah's coming up. All right, come on up. Okay. Great, coming up. We did already a little bit. So, you guys, this is Sarah. Sarah Crotty's the one that, with the breastfeeding help, she's the one that can tell you all about this. And then Liv, who I just met tonight, is going to be part of our panel. And then, are you, Robin, are you doing anything to help?
I'm going to do the mic.
Oh, she's doing the mic. Okay, great.
Yes.
And you can ask Robin questions, too.
Oh, yeah. I'll
come on up, Aaron.
So you've got a lactation consultant, a labor and delivery nurse, and a childbirth educator. So, and then family ministry.
What? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Any questions? Don't be shy.
Awesome. They've got this. They're ready.
What would you say is the best way for dads to be